Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Ayanna Pressley's primary election win is just the latest reminder about the limits of polling, strategy, and conventional political expectations. With much less money and without the advantages of incumbency, she decisively defeated longtime Congressman Michael Capuano. WBUR's Anthony Brooks has this look at how she did it.
This past weekend, fresh from her victory, Ayanna Pressley rallied with Democratic supporters in Cambridge.
Wow. Look at this room. Now this looks like the 7th Congressional District.
That's more than just an applause line. It explains a big part of how Pressley won. Here's how she put it to WBUR yesterday.
We built a movement. This was a people-powered, broad, deep, and diverse grassroots coalition.
You expanded the electorate.
We expanded the electorate. It's so critical that we are intentional about engaging new voices.
Pressley challenged the traditional notion of who votes in primary elections. Conventional wisdom had her losing to a better-known, much better-financed 10-term incumbent. That's what a lot of people took away from a WBUR poll last month, which showed Capuano with a comfortable 13-point lead. But Pressley clobbered him by 17 points. So did the race really swing so dramatically in the final months? It's hard to believe. Was the poll wrong? Probably not. But the limitation of polls is that they only reach likely voters, those who voted in past elections. And if you're an incumbent like Capuano, you focus on these people, your supporters. And that's what he did.
He did everything right but win. Mike Capuano ran a textbook race, but people aren't looking for textbook this year at all.
Marianne Marsh is a Boston-based Democratic political consultant. She says Pressley was able to catch political lightning in a bottle.
So many candidates always say they're going to change the electorate, that they're going to broaden it and bring out people who don't vote, register people and all that, and they never do. But Ayanna Pressley's campaign did.
Consider this. On average, about 50,000 people voted in each of the last three primary elections in the 7th district. 50,000. Last week, more than 100,000 people came to the polls. Alex Goldstein, a senior advisor for Pressley, says the campaign challenged assumptions about why some people don't vote.
I think that there is a assumption about millennials and frankly about other parts of our community that people don't vote because they're either lazy or apathetic and they don't care.
But Goldstein argues people don't vote when they don't feel seen by the political process.
One of the messages our campaign is that we see you. And I think that that brought a lot of folks out.
You can learn everything you need to know about the 7th Congressional District by riding the number one bus from Cambridge to Roxbury.
The Pressley campaign defied conventional ideas about how to get its message out. Badly outspent, she couldn't afford TV ads like Capuano, so she relied on free and social media. This spot pushed out over Twitter and Facebook, which highlighted the economic disparity within the 7th, went viral.
So that I'll never grow complacent in tackling these inequities and these disparities.
The vast majority of our social media reception was actually organically viral.
Again, Alex Goldstein with the Pressley campaign.
Which means that it was just people sharing what they saw, and they liked it, and they wanted other people to see it, whether that was on Facebook or that was on Twitter.
The campaign also reached out to Chinese, Haitian, and Spanish-speaking communities in the district. John Walsh, the former chairman of the state Democratic Party, who managed Deval Patrick's successful gubernatorial campaign in 2006, says Pressley's campaign was truly grassroots. Among other things, that means it relied on excitement, new energy, and word of mouth.
I had a friend of mine who told me this story. He said he's so excited about the race, he personally claims credit for 11 people that voted for her. He called them and talked about her. It's a qualitative difference when they're fired up. And that's what Ayanna had.
The election was a choice between a solid, experienced progressive and a challenger who agreed with most of his positions but said it was time for change. It made for a tough choice for voters like Marilyn Foreman of Dorchester, who spoke to me just a few days before the election.
I know Capuano for so long, and I think that he's always done really great work, but I usually feel like it's time for change, but I'm just kind of like on the fence.
In the end, voters like her helped decide this race. I spoke to Foreman again right after the election.
How did you vote last Tuesday?
I actually did vote for Ayanna.
you know, though I love Michael Capuana, she definitely is the change that we need to see in Congress.
Presley's message of change resonated across the district. She dominated in Boston and stunned Capuano by carrying Cambridge and almost tying him in his hometown of Somerville. Susan Tracy, a former state rep who runs the strategy group, says this election was all about change, change demanded by voters and the change reflected by Boston itself.
I mean, look at the Boston City Council. That should be sort of an indicator, right? There are six women on that council, five of them women of color. Like, that's not old Boston, as they say. And I think that's a good thing.
Presley's slogan, "Change can't wait," was a good one, Tracy says, because clearly the district has changed and clearly it couldn't wait. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Anthony Brooks.